What's fun about these poetry readings is the variety of voices. Since we're each reading about one of our friends, a poet who has passed, and all three of them we've known well, I've chosen Anita Byerly. Len Roberts, whom some of you have studied under, said of Anita, "Her poems are always a pleasure, not only for their vivid images and strongly rhythmical language, but for their downright humanness, their heartfelt concern for what it means to be human. Whether she's writing about scrubbing linoleum or as a child digging a hole to China, her musical, sure voice connects with the reader and thus creates a strong common bond that tells us we are not alone. What higher aim could poetry have?" Anita had a sense of humor, and I remember hearing her read this poem several times. The poem is called, "When My Head Gets Too Big, I Remember. I was a poached egg in the first grade play. That is all I remember about first grade, that and a boy named Harry who wore dirty shirts, torn knickers, and smelled like my grandma's cellar. He always tried to sit by me, pull my braids, upset my box of cardboard letters, put his hands on my desk so I couldn't print. Harry did not have a part in the play. He was not a pork chop, potato, apple, or glass of milk. He stood in the back row, part of the chorus that introduced each basic food group. Proudly, I held my cardboard egg, covering me from chin to knee, and painted white with a glob of yellow. Eggs help you to run fast, I said. That day after school, Harry ran down the hill after me, shouting so all the kids could hear, rotten egg, rotten egg. Now that's Anita's sense of humor. The title poem in the book is Digging a Hole to China. How naive we were, Virginia, with our small metal shovels, to think we could dig to China from that plot of earth in my yard on Lobinger. You with your lisp and red hair, me with brown braids and an idea I'd found in some book, we fully expected to see a friend at the end of our tunnel. All we found were rocks, tangled roots trying to be trees, overturned beetles, blind worms digesting soil. Scraping at yellow clay, we labored until Mother came home from her job at the press and asked Father, "Were you sleeping while they destroyed the flower bed?" Our faith was boundless, but no more than when you married John, followed him to air bases, raised three sons together after the war. Now, after his year of jaundice, you have buried him in a plot slightly larger than that backyard tunnel, put to rest your dreams of a shared old age. The brown in my hair has changed to gray. I have raised my children alone, digested enough books to earn a degree at 61. Virginia, we are still digging, despite rocks and roots, despite the waiting clay. That's Anita Byerly. When I considered what I would read tonight, it's fun to read over some of your poems that you've written over the years. I know a lot of people have been given credit for the statement, childhood is the poet's bank account, but I think it's quite true. Out here on Shenley Plaza, there's a carousel, and I've always appreciated the carousel and loved it more than the dips and the tilt-a-whirl and some of those other rides. This one's written in rhyme and meter, although most of my other poems are not. Carousel song. Nike in the stirrup, toss a Levi'd limb, climb aboard a unicorn, ride the ribbon's rim. Round go Mary, merry go round, search the stars, spin the ground. Pick your pony, risk the ring, practice wave, bear bulb sting. Round go Mary, merry go round, search the stars, spin the ground. Spur to gallop, mirrored elf, enchanted forest, fleeting self. Round go Mary, merry go round, search the stars, spurn the ground. The other one from childhood, I imagine most of you, when you were young, had mason jars and you poked holes in them and you would gather lightning bugs. I was surprised to discover that not everybody in the world has lightning bugs, and not all the states in the United States have lightning bugs. I believe they don't have them in the Northwest. So this is called Sorcerers. You amazed Aristotle, producing light without the fire. Jamaicans call you blinkies, laugh at your lights as they make love beneath the poinciana. In Kyoto, they celebrate your miracle, releasing you by thousands, living fireworks to fill the dark. Brazilian women wear you entwined within their braids, announcing, as you do, their readiness for courting. And I, in an Ohio River Valley town, capture you, not in the mason jars of youth, but in the dark caverns of my hand, spreading calloused thumb portals to invite your green, yellow glow. Right after I retired, I went to Japan, and I had quite a few experiences over there that led to writing. But a couple of these poems are recent ones I just wrote, and a couple are ones I wrote after I came back from Japan. This is a Maneki Neko. If you go to Japan, you will see Maneki Nekos everywhere. Oh, you'll see them in Chinese restaurants and things too. The beckoning cat. Maneki Neko. You beckon with upraised paw. Welcome me to soba shop, pachinko parlor. Chalk white body, green bib, gold bell. You come home, perched beside my altar on the tatami mat. A widow, I sip green tea, sample dim sum, consult you as you juggle golden kobans. O favored calico, you bear a belly full of coins. Can you spare a few so I may travel home to pay respect to ancestors? In return, I'll bring a daruma. With my tears, I'll wet my inkstone, fill its eyes for wishing. This one's for Nancy James, who, believe it or not, if you know Nancy, she loves sumo wrestling. Okay, this is called Basho. A Japanese poet, a sumo tournament. Top knotted wrestlers enter clay and sand ring, toss handfuls of salt to chase evil spirits. They crouch, clap hands, match breasts. No weapons, only piercing stares. They stomp, circle, slap bellies. A frog leaps into the pond. An adversary bows out. You may have noticed at the beginning the word basho both refers to the Japanese poet, the haiku, famous haiku poet, and it's the name for the sumo wrestling tournament. That one was written today. Okay. I discovered when we visited Lady Murasaki's home in Japan that she really was credited with being one of the first novelists in the entire world. She's called the Lady Purple. Tribute to Lady Murasaki. I sit in your garden in Kyoto, admiring hydrangea, whose lace-capped flowers cluster like the stories you wove about Prince Genji and the women he loved. Imagination ascends like the balloon flower, lavender, on this August day. Lady Purple, you brushed characters in kanji, wetting your inkstone, painting the tales of the shining prince. When the temple bell stops, the flowers continue to toll your stories, which have lasted for 10 centuries, even though your father lamented that you were born a woman. So there. All right, the last poem, I think all of us keep seeking peace, and when I was in Japan, I asked if we could visit Hiroshima and the Peace Park there. Sadako. In Hiroshima's Peace Park, I ring the bell to summon you in your mother's cherry blossom kimono. Here, where even Buddha's face melted at 8:15, you stretch forth your arms, release the golden crane to western sky, brush kanji characters for harmony upon her wings. With your thumb, you spin the prayer wheel. This is our cry, you say. This is our prayer. Peace to the world. Only children understand the need for folding 1,000 cranes, for breathing life into the sacred bird of peace. And I'm pleased to introduce the last poet, Christine Akins Wolf, our new president of the Pittsburgh Poetry Society.